Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty. This is Snap Reactions for week 6. And let's just start right off. Human hand grenade highlight reel. Running back 1 for the week, Leonard Fournette. Running back 6 for the week, Darrell Williams. This is pending Monday Night Football. Running back 10 for the week, Khalil Herbert. 16, Alex Collins. 21, Chuba Hubbard. 23, Devontae Booker. Pretty solid performances there from some guys that were in the quote dead zone or beyond in terms of drafts over the summer. It's always comical to me. Got a race to get guys before the dead zone so that way, you know, we can take up roster spots for players that we're not going to need later on. But anyways, I digress. Arizona's got some interesting trends here, and I'm not sure what to make of it. I think this requires further reading, further monitoring, because I don't feel good about it. James Conner, snap share, past 4 weeks. 37%, 42%, 48%, 55%. Steady, positive growth for him. Chase Edmonds over the past 4 weeks. 66%, 67%, 61%, 37%. When you look at some of the touches and stuff like that, the one thing that concerns me is the routes. So Chase Edmonds, 67% of the routes we'll just go in the last 4 weeks. 67% of the routes, 71.7% of routes. Okay. 50% of routes, 37.5% of the routes, that falls off the table. This is the first week that Connor and Edmonds have run the same amount of routes. And Connor's playing more snaps than Edmonds. I tend to think that maybe game script has something to do with this, that there's some injury stuff going on here that they're sort of concerned about. That said, I feel less confident about starting Edmonds right now. I think he's more in the running back 2 sphere than he is at any point up in the running back 1. Again, you can have, depending on matchups and stuff coming forward, I think you can have situations where you're going to feel better about some of the human hand grenades I just mentioned than you are about Edmonds. And again, I think it warrants some more monitoring and some more attention. That said, like, you're going to get Darrell Williams at Tennessee with the highest team total of the week, the highest game total of the week, and presumably team total as well. Like, that's going to be a spot where you're going to feel better starting him than you would feel starting Chase Edmonds, especially with the fact that Chase Edmonds, they're a 3-score favorite at home. But that's a James Conner game. So those are the things that I'm a little cautious and concerned about there with Edmonds versus Conner. I think Conner could be a potential guy. He's a flex consideration this week, I think, especially with all the buys that you have going on. Like, he's definitely, I think, is in that flex consideration given his usage. And I'm not sure that Edmonds has a ton of ceiling. All right, Latavius Murray, I read that it was a high ankle sprain type mechanism with his ankle. Obviously not great. So he played 38%. Le'Veon Bell, 32%. Devonta Freeman, 30%. Tyson Williams sat out. Notably with Le'Veon Bell, the fact that he has come off practice squad twice, he's ineligible to go back on it now. So he's either up or he's cut. So we'll see there with what the deal is with Tyson Williams. I'm not sure. I don't have a great feel on this one. I really don't. I think you'd take a shot on whoever's there. You know, if Freeman's available, I'd probably take a shot on him. But I don't feel great about any of the situations ultimately. 65% snap share the past 2 weeks for Chuba Hubbard. Feel really good about that. However, 0.49 rushing yards over expectation negative. So he's basically a half a yard under expectation per carry. That's not great. But he is getting the usage there, which you like to see. He's just underperforming it a little bit, but probably not in a way that you feel super meaningful on your roster. You take him as a running back too, as he is getting opportunities, and you know, I think you feel okay about it. Again, this is going to be a road favorite against the Giants. It's going to be a low total, so you figure the running back's going to be fully, the running game is going to be fully involved in week 7. Khalil Herbert, almost 90% of the snaps. He also ran 30 routes, so he goes 19 for 97 with a touchdown. He goes 2 for 15 through the air. One of the things I did hear discussed a little bit was, hey, just a lack of passing game viability. 30 routes, like, you feel fine about that. 2 for 15, again, that's not particularly efficient, but you feel that it's, this is probably not a passing game that's going to give a ton to running backs in the receiving game is sort of my, I guess my operating premise at present, just based on everything. And so, you know, you're just seeing from a, you know, from a running game, you just, I just have some pause about the fact that they're going to be super effective. At present, they rank 31st in receiving points for their running backs. Again, I just, I think you're probably not going to see a ton out of them. They're 32nd in terms of expected receiving points. I just don't expect much from them out of the running back position for the receiving game ultimately. But I do like his, the fact that he has a decent workload, and I wonder if he's not a threat to Damian Williams. So we'll see here how long Montgomery's going to be out. It looks like it's going to be like a month. I think you feel pretty good about if Damian Williams isn't going to play, I think you feel good about playing Herbert. Again, the problem is he's going to be on the road at Tampa. It's a horrible situation. it's a horrible situation. So I think he's more of like a, probably going to be more of a desperation flex type scenario in week 7. But I'm interested to really see, like, maybe that's how Damian Williams comes back and is relevant. I think in week seven, I think you probably feel better about Damian Williams because he's got passing game viability than you would about Herbert at this particular point. Cleveland's important. So this is a really important one. They're actually at home. I think I said in the group chat that they were on the road. They're actually at home. They're a 4-point favorite at home against Denver. The problem that I have with this is Denver's really good against running backs. So they defend running backs really well. That's the caution that I would have against about what I'm about to say. Hunt hurt. Looks like he's going to miss time. Probably heading for IR. Chubb, it's going to unlock a ceiling for him if he's back healthy. He's, quote, progressing, according to Kevin Stefanski. We'll see there how that goes. I think the interesting fact is people are pumping up Dimitric Felton, as a potential starter this week. He's played like zero snaps out of the backfield. He's run 3.8% of his snaps this season out of the backfield. He's just not a running back. They're using him as like a gadget slot wide receiver type deal. So that would just be the thing that I would say with him is it's D'Ernest Johnson. Like D'Ernest Johnson had one rush for 2 yards, but like he's seeing his touches out of the backfield. Felton just isn't. So I just, Felton has played zero pass blocking snaps. Like this is not, he is not a being used as a running back. He's being used as a gadget guy. So I think D'Ernest Johnson as a home favorite, again, it's a low total. You're probably not feeling great about it given the defense. It's going to be kind of a putrid Thursday night slugfest. I do think like he's more like, I'd feel probably better about playing D'Ernest Johnson than I would playing Herbert, for example. And so that's sort of the spectrum which we'd watch him, assuming that Chubb is out. A.J. Dillon has had some usage over the past couple weeks, which is notable. 15 rushes in week 4, 8 rushes in week 5, 11 rushes in week 6. And then you top that off with the receptions. So total touches over the past 3 weeks, 16, 12, and 11. So I definitely think he is on your radar in terms of flex viability if you need it at the running back position here going forward. Again, Aaron Jones, lock him in. He's very good. But A.J. Dillon also seeing some usability and some viability. Jonathan Taylor, 7th in terms of expected points at 94 total points. He is 5th in terms of points, 113.2. He's 4th in terms of over expectation points. He's almost 100 total yards over expectation in the receiving game. He is more than 120 yards over expectation in on the ground, almost 125 over expectation. He is a freakazoid. He has not scored touchdowns at the rate you would expect, but he is absolutely smashing in terms of yards over expectation, which I feel is very much the stat that you want. Right? If you want to say, hey, which one's going to be better for expectation, give me the guy that is going to be smashing yards over expectation than he is touchdowns over expectation, because that touchdown stuff, that faucet can get turned off quickly. The yards, like, that shows a skill. So he's damn good. And if the touchdowns come, he's got running back 1 in any week in his range of outcomes. And we could see, you know, he would have to probably pound in, you know, 15 touchdowns on the ground, which I'm not sure is going to happen. But he certainly has, like, that type of potential if some of the touchdown stuff were to ever sort of break back his way. All right. James Robinson, ninth in terms of expected points, eighth in terms of total points, 104.6, 85% snap rate. So his trade market right now, I just did a little looking up. A second for James Robinson, I would smash the James Robinson side of that. Tony for Robinson, I'd smash the Robinson side of that. And another one that I saw that was really interesting in terms of like a team construction build, Akers, Terrace Marshall, and Juju Smith-Schuster for Keenan Allen, James Robinson, and Tony Jones. Like, smash that side if you're at all intent on competing. Like, Keenan Allen and James Robinson can smash for you this year. You're looking at adding a couple of wins for some guys that you're not even sure are going to be difference makers at any point here going forward. So really smash that. Darrell Williams just really hammering on the Alexander Mattison theory of the running back position, which is if you are a good backup running back, the gap between and you're seeing some snaps in any given week, like where your starter's hurt, when the starter goes out, you're going to see a higher rate of snaps because the gap between running back two and three is significantly and substantially bigger than the gap between running back one and two is. 72% of snaps for Darrell Williams is the highest. It matches Clyde Edwards-Helaire's high for the season. So I think that's really, really interesting in terms of like any week that Edwards-Helaire's out, I think you feel good about Darrell Williams. Again, you could look at the running back or the quarterback show. I think some of the conversation about Patrick Mahomes is a little bit overblown and people need to stay away from any sort of dangerous equipment. But they're going to be a road favorite against Tennessee and a game that could go north of four touchdowns apiece. So definitely he is in lineups again this week, assuming there's no health, which I don't think there is at this point. I was interested in seeing what the Jacobs-Drake split in terms of routes was this week. Drake actually played pretty well, and he had like that long catch. I think he might have even scored a touchdown on the play. But 14 routes for Jacobs, 6 for Drake. So I think that's notable in terms of the post-Gruden era, see where this thing goes. Darrell Henderson, 5th in terms of expected points in week 6, 10th highest expectation in points in only 5 games. Top 5 in terms of expectations per game. If you are contending and you can stomach the train ride that is the roller coaster of Darrell Henderson's injury coming in and out of the game, it's like Julio. He's like a poor man's Julio in terms of coming in and out of the game and all that stuff. If you could stomach all of that, which by stomach it, I mean just don't turn the game on. He's in a high-end running back one role. Again, let me repeat that. Darrell Henderson is in a high-end running back one role. Some recent trades for Henderson that I would sort of definitely entertain. 2 seconds, that is a 2022 second and a 2023 second for Darrell Henderson. Brandon Ayuk for Darrell Henderson. Laviska Shenault and Ross Dwelly for Henderson and Ricky Seals-Jones. I would run to accept that deal. I'd probably run to accept the Ayuk one too at this point. The first for Darrell Henderson, like I'd want to assume it'd be a really, really, really late one. I hate doing those sorts of deals just because I think you can put two of those first together and get a significantly better asset. And I think that's the way that I try and treat those first. It's like I want elite players and deals that I'm going to put those in. So I probably wouldn't do just a naked first for Henderson. But that's there for you ultimately if you want it. 32% snap share for Joshua Kelly for the Chargers, 14% for Justin Jackson, Larry Roundtree's inactive. That gives you an idea of sort of where the human hand grenade index should lie on those guys, which, again, that'll be a podcast. It'll be out in the next 24 hours or so. Austin Eckler, running back 8, has a down week this week. He is number 2 in terms of total points. So we'll take it, right? I mean, it just absolutely smashing. He's high floor and in terms of expectation, and he overproduces it. He's just a really good player. 14th in terms of expected points, the running back position for Minnesota. I was surprised by that. Ultimately, I thought it would be higher than that, but I think that's notable there. There is probably some room for growth in the situation. Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, a little bit of competition going on here. So Harris goes over 100 yards, 18 carries, 101 yards and a touchdown. Stevenson plays. I saw that he got blown up in terms of some pass protection, but actually came back in and played. 34% of snaps 2 weeks ago, 33% this week, 5 carries, 23 yards, and a touchdown. He ran 8 routes. Harris ran 4. Harris seeing more than 3-1 in terms of the rushing game work. I think it's interesting that Stevenson's involved, and I think it's interesting that he's involved over a guy like Taylor, for example. So I don't think Harris is going to make a big time deal. Like, even in this game, like, he's okay. It's 16 points. Like, that's like, it's fine. You know, it's actually a little bit more than that when you consider all the yardage and everything, but you just sort of look and you're like, okay, like, he's 26th on the season, but how good do you feel about that? Like, he's got 60 points in the season. He's basically 10 point a game score. I sort of, on one hand, I think, like, hey, if you could just tell me, like, if I could put in 10, if I could sort of average out 10 points a game in some of my flex positions, and like, I sort of package that with what I want to be an elite quarterback build, all of a sudden, like, I'm really, really tough to beat. He sort of fits that mold. I think you could probably beat him on a week to week basis, but he's valuable to have, right? And I think you play sort of matchups with him. I was talking with Chad. We had a spot where it was like, hey, do you want to play Damian Harris? And we're like, yeah, well, like, he's really attractive in a scenario where he's like a home favorite or a really high home total. Like, and that was what he was this week. He wasn't a home favorite, but I think he's an interesting play. And, you know, we'll watch for Stevenson's development. I think they're both pretty interesting guys together. Devontae Booker, 12 for 41. He goes 4 for 4 in the passing game and 28 receiving yards. Brightwell, Elijah Penny had 3 for 15 and a touchdown, and he ran 9 routes. So you can cut Gary Brightwell. Najee Harris. So this is an interesting one. And this is one that I'm not sure how I feel about it. Najee Harris, 145.8 expected points, 121.2 actual points. He's 24.6 points under expectation. That's a huge number. So he's not really performing to what he should be performing to. He's 100 yards, almost 100 total yards under expectation through 6 weeks. So that's not really good. Again, I think you could probably pivot off of him, but I'd want to pivot to like an elite piece. You know, I'd be looking, I'm going star hunting with these guys, and I think he sort of insulated it. This is probably being a little bit too cute in terms of worrying about expectation and all that stuff. Like, I don't think other people are sort of paying attention to that, but just know that the situation, like, the spigot could get cut off of it, and it gets, he should be performing 5 more points per game than he is. When you think about that, like, that's a lot. Right. So he right now through 3 weeks in just regular PPR scoring, he is third at 121.2 points. You add 24.6 points to that, and all of a sudden he's running back 1 by a few points. So I would just like give you some caution, like, he's not meeting his ceiling. And so that's really the problem that I would sort of have with him at present. Can you pivot him to, you know, what's the pivot between him and like Aaron Jones, for example? I'd be really interested in something like that. I would just be open to exploring some trades for him, especially if you can get a plus plus on top of like already a core asset. I think that's a really interesting pivot. Again, I'm not sort of running for the hills, but I just think that he is leaving stuff on the table that I wonder ultimately, if this isn't a Ben Roethlisberger, like, check me down offense, like, if there's not, that stuff doesn't go away. And, you know, if that stuff stays put, I don't think it will. I think it'll go away ultimately, and he's not going to lead the league in running back receptions. Notably, it appeared, I read about this. I did not watch it for squeamish reasons. It appears that Benny Snell broke his arm, so on a special teams play. So Kalen Ballage is playing some. I thought it was going to be Snell. Like, if Ballage was, if Harris got hurt, I thought it would be Snell playing, but I would definitely add Ballage and look to see if Snell, when he gets placed on IR, that appears like it's going to be coming. If you don't have an IR spot available, or you're playing a league that just is, you know, has big benches or something, you can probably cut Snell. That would sort of be my expectation. Miles Sanders is 25th in terms of expected points. He's performing 9.3 points under expectation, 11.1 points per game expected. It's just pretty low. I mean, it's just, that's not great. And to underperform that, like, you just don't feel good about that. Again, is that situation one that could get better? Yeah. But that's a lot of, like, that's a low spot to come up from. Alex Collins played 60% of snaps in week six, 34% for DJ Dallas. In terms of expected points so far in the season, 22.4 expected points per game for Seattle. That is 19th. In terms of actual points per game, 27. So that is up to 10th. So there is, you know, I would consider them like a middle of the road sort of expectation in terms of points, but you feel pretty good about Alex Collins, where he's coming from, where he could potentially produce. Past 3 weeks for Leonard Fournette, 82%, 62%, 63%. Snap share. He was running back one this week, pending Monday Night Football. 17.5 points per game expected. That's sixth at the position. He's running back 16 in points per game to date, but is much better sort of in the post Giovanni Bernard involvement. Of late, Leonard Fournette is really tracking up. So I think he's a smash. Like, he's a potential difference maker long term down the stretch here. And outside of like 2 minute drills, he is smashing the running back position. JD McKissick for Washington played a significant role in sort of the negative game script aspect of this game, really capping Antonio Gibson's upside. So that is something that is an ever-present danger for Gibson and a disappointment considering his profile ultimately. So hope that that gets better. All right, so some other just to sort of highlight just a couple of seasonal finishes. I just wanted to do a rundown of the position, and then I'll just sort of highlight some additional things. Taylor is at running back 5 right now. Jones, running back 6. Swift is at 7. So some interesting names in that sort of corridor. Zeke is at running back 4. So I think that's a really lucrative situation there. And then you see, I think, a drop down in caliber of players and some of the assets there. Afterwards, you've got Kareem Hunt, who will be falling. Cordero Patterson, depending on your scoring, is a running back at he's running back 10 at present in terms of total points. He's higher in terms of points per game. Mixon's at running back 12, which is interesting, with virtually, again, the same limited receiving stuff. He has 13 catches, 90 yards so far through 6 games. So not a ton there to write home about, but he does have a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown. Nick Chubb, I expect his volume to potentially go up. He has 5 receptions so far on the season. If Hunt is out, he's a high-end running back 1 upside type situation. Pollard's actually on the board right now for a hit, so he's at running back 19. I suspect that won't stay the same. I just regress some as we go along here. He's basically averaging 12.5 touches per game. Actually, don't feel bad about that in the flex. Delvin Cook came back this past week, has 92 touches through 5 weeks. Again, you would think that could actually be higher than it is. Actually, I take that back. That's through 4 weeks. I'm sorry. He has 92 touches through 4 weeks. So that is actually fine. That's pretty robust. Barkley, you know, we'll see his length of his injury here. And by my count, we'll have 8 guys on IR from the running back position out of the top 24 of the position coming into the season there. So pretty tough streams to be rowing into if you're arguing for running back early. You know, I argue running back a lot, but I think later, you know, take the anti-fragile way out and take them later and smash. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of Snap Reactions for the running back position for week 6. Be on the lookout for more podcasts, including the running back rundown, waiver wires, wide receiver, and tight end snap reactions. I have a special guest on the Thursday trade show this week as well. And I got a couple of fun guests lined up here for the next couple weeks. I will outdo it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.